We're here as we have been commanded to be, and also since we are here and we are obedient to God, we will be making an offering to God, and that is actually commanded in Leviticus 23. I won't turn there, but it is in verse 36 that an offering of fire should be made. I'm going to talk about offerings, but maybe from a little different standpoint. I'm going to talk about three women who really went over and above in their offerings to God. I think the examples that they have left us will provide some inspiration for us to go forward from this feast. I'd like to start with a woman named Hannah. She was one of two wives, and she was the one that didn't have any kids, so she was teased all the time, mocked. And finally, she made up her mind to come before God at one of the sacrificial times of the year in Shiloh, and she prayed to God. And I'd like to read her vow in 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. He would be a Nazarite. That child became Samuel, one of the great prophets out of the human history. And not only was she willing to give so graciously to God to have a child, God was gracious in turn to her. She ended up having three sons and two daughters, and her husband had told her that he actually favored her anyway before the child Samuel was given. But her willingness, brethren, to sacrifice so much, and she kept the child until he was weaned and then took him to Eli, and that's where he grew up. Quite a remarkable willingness to go above and way far beyond what most people would ever do. But she gave to God a very important personage in the history of the Bible. And I think God more than honored that gift. I'd like to point out another example in Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. Another woman who did what she could. And the context of this is interesting in her giving. Mark 14, I'll get there in just a moment here. Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he, speaking of Jesus Christ now, as he sat at table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Was it wasted? She certainly didn't think so. This was quite a sacrifice for this lady, for it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and that's about the equivalent of a year's salary in those times. And given to the poor, it continues, and they criticized her sharply for her gift to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Now, notice this next verse. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And I have the honor of doing that right now, memorializing what this woman did. It was a very costly gift to Jesus Christ. I have to wonder how much she knew what she was doing. That isn't spelled out. Maybe someday we can find it out. But another woman who went over and above what might have been expected of anybody at that time. And again, she was criticized. There seems to always be an adversarial component in times when we give to God. Not from God, of course, but from others, the outside. And my third example is in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Another very famous example. Try to play this out in your mind's eye of the temple, all those gorgeous buildings and hundreds, if not thousands, of people all over the temple grounds. Verse 1 of Luke 21, and he, Jesus, looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. Again, in contrast to the precious ointment that the prior lady had poured over Jesus Christ, this was really meager. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than they all. For all these out of the abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. God, here I am. Here's what I have. Take it all. I trust you. Maybe at times we need to come to that point in our commitment to the work of God. You see, Jesus Christ is still here. He's heading the church. And we can contribute and do mighty things because God makes them mighty, not because if we of our own are going to be giving so much. I want to ask this. How many of us have been given much by God? I mean, we could say, or we could count our blessings, I'm sure. If that's true, I want to read one final scripture in Luke 10, verse 43. Probably is not going to be in verse 43 since I don't have the right scripture here. See, Kaylin, you're not the only one that does this. No. Any rate, what it says of whom to whom much is given, much also will be required. Brethren, how much has God given us? He's given us the knowledge of the truth. He's given us His Holy Spirit and the promise of eternal life. Is there more that God could have given to us than He has already, except in the fulfilling of what He has promised, which we can count on Him doing? So it's always good, as we come to the feast, to kind of step back and think, what can I do in this coming year to add to the body of Christ? To fulfill this aspect of having much required. Do you stay up late? You know, can you still reach back and pull up that first love, that zeal, When you first began to learn the truth, and I mean, nothing would stop us then. We just zeroed in and we would suffer persecution or whatever. Well, we may get to do some more of that. But just as we give our offering today, realize that we've prepared, we've set aside an offering, we've come to the feast to give to God as best we can. And God will bless that. God has certainly blessed us. And if you just take a deep breath and look back at the way things have turned out, He is guiding our lives and blessing us so richly. So remember these three ladies. They're quite the example. And sometimes we talk about old bearded men and bald-headed men as prophets and so forth. But remember the example any of us can set that might even become a memorial for all of time. And we're part of the work that does just those kinds of things.